Hey, I'm Shane, and I have a question for you. How do you show that you're a fan of something? Maybe you wear a t-shirt with your team's logo, or you use catchphrases from your favorite shows. Maybe you follow fan accounts for updates, or you even wear merch from your favorite influencers. Sometimes we even give our group of fans a name. I mean, not our group of fans. I don't necessarily have a group of fans, but you get what I mean. Look, when we really like something or someone, we want to show it. Okay, so here's another question that might make you think. How do people know if you're a follower of Jesus? Is it about like wearing a cross necklace or putting a scripture in your profile or never saying a bad word? Like, do you need religious t-shirts or stickers on your water bottle? Like, I'm not trying to bash those things if you enjoy it, but what if it's something more than that? Of course, you know this, it is something more, right? After all, being a fan of something is not the same as following someone. But still, as a teenager in today's world, it can be really difficult to know what following Jesus is supposed to be like. I mean, let's think about this a little bit differently. For example, what does it look like to follow Jesus at school, at home, on the basketball court, in the band or orchestra? How does following Jesus change more than just the clothes we wear, the music we listen to, or where we spend our time? How does following Jesus change who we actually are? In this series, we've been talking about Jesus's epic comeback story, his life, death, burial, and resurrection. But when it comes to learning what it looks like to follow Jesus, we can take a cue from a conversation that he had with his disciples or his closest friends and followers at a point before his death. The disciple Matthew recorded Jesus saying this, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me.'" Jesus was kind of telling his disciples what it meant to be, well, his disciples. This verse answers the question, what is a disciple or follower of Jesus? It means being someone who's willing to put aside your own way in order to choose his way. And Jesus didn't just talk about putting aside your own way, he also demonstrated it. In fact, in another circumstance, he washed his disciples' feet. And in that culture 2,000 years ago, it was a common practice, but people wore sandals and walked most of the places that they went. So if you visited someone's house, there would often be a person there to wash your feet. But the thing is, the person who did it often didn't have a choice. So you can imagine how surprised the disciples were to see their leader choosing to wash their feet. See, before the cross, Jesus laid down his life. He did it in significant ways and at times in ways that seemed small, but he still was consistently giving his life away. One of the last things that Jesus did before he went to the cross was humble himself and serve his disciples. He even washed the feet of the close friends who would go on to betray him, deny him, and go into hiding when he needed them most. Then after doing that, Jesus said this, "And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." The events that followed this statement probably made it stand out in the disciples' minds. Jesus said, "I'm your Lord and teacher, and I'm serving you. This is an example of what humility and serving look like. I want you to follow and demonstrate all of this to the rest of the world." And for them, Jesus washing their feet was a huge deal. However, it paled in comparison to what he was about to do. It was a small demonstration of the history-altering thing that he was about to do. So what was it? Well, he was about to lay down his life. See, at the cross, Jesus laid down his life. Jesus was beaten, mocked, and murdered. He was humiliated, and he did it all out of love. How far would he go to show his love? He went as far as you can go. He gave up his life for you and for me. Because of his death, we can be confident that God loves us and that God even likes us. God went to incredible lengths to show us how much God cares about us and wants us to experience the kind of incredible life that God created us for. And that's not all. 3 days after Jesus died, in that moment, Jesus did what no one had done before. He came back to life in his own power, defeating sin and death. Now, we know that our failures, shame, and guilt don't have to define us. Instead, Jesus made it possible for us to live a life that's full of joy and hope and peace and all sorts of other great things, no matter what we face. It doesn't mean that life will be easy, but it does mean that he's with us every step of the way. See, Jesus's resurrection changed everything, not just for people 2,000 years ago, but for them and for us and for people even in the future. That's why this time of year is such a powerful and amazing celebration. When Jesus reconnected with his disciples, you see more examples of him loving them, encouraging them, and even making them food and serving it to them. As their leader, Jesus let them know that he'd never give up on them and he'd never stop loving them. This was the way of Jesus, and this is the way of carrying your cross. This is what it means to follow Jesus, and this is what we're invited into, a way of life. When we lay down our own way, we're doing what Jesus did. This means not assuming that our perspectives, opinions, and beliefs are always right, but instead considering the experiences of others. It means we serve others even when it costs us. It means we go out of our way to help those who are in need. Think of it this way. Living for Jesus means living like Jesus. What are you willing to give up for the good of someone else? This is the way of the cross. We can get another clue of what this looks like by looking at the early church. See, after Jesus came back to life and then left the earth, he told the disciples, "My spirit will be with you. My power, my energy, my presence will be with you." And this is what happened. This is recorded by this guy named Luke, who wrote the story of how the church got started 2,000 years ago. Luke writes, "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need." The early church laid down their lives for each other. And that's actually one of the reasons why Christianity grew so quickly. At the beginning of all this church stuff, it was made up of people from diverse backgrounds who never would have spent time together or been friends. But they didn't just attend a service together. They actually sacrificed for each other and shared with each other so that everyone had what they needed. They loved each other like Jesus loved them. And because of that, think about this, because of that, people wanted to be a part of their community. They lived the way of the cross, and that's why this movement that we now call Christianity took off. In fact, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. I mean, this is incredible. And that word share, as we read from Luke's writing, is now joined by words like joy and generosity. See, these people at the very beginning of this movement weren't laying down their lives because they felt like they had to. It wasn't a duty or an obligation. It wasn't something that was just like popular in their community. Their lives had actually been made new. Their leader had given up his life for them. And some of them had seen the resurrected Jesus. His disciples, they had had their feet washed by him, and he'd even served them meals after he came back to life. And now those disciples and all the other people who had decided to follow Jesus, they were choosing to follow his example. And when they did that, they showed everyone what it looked like to live like him. Okay, so let's talk some more about what this looks like for us today. We talked about how following Jesus isn't just about the clothes we wear or the music that we listen to. We know it's about giving up our own way and following him, but practically, how do we do that? Well, here are a few ways that we can begin. First, give up your own way by practicing empathy and serving others. We practice empathy when we're willing to pause our own opinions and perspectives to consider someone else's experiences. Let's go back to what we talked about a little bit earlier. This means that at school, we listen when people tell us their stories. We ask questions. We take a genuine interest in other people. We don't dominate the conversations, demand all the attention, and make it all about us. We seek to genuinely care about others. This means at home, maybe we take out the trash without being asked. Maybe we spend some time with our younger siblings or step siblings. We play with them. We give them some of our undivided attention. Or maybe we help do the dishes or put away the groceries. We choose to serve. This means at basketball practice or band practice, we encourage other people. Whether that comes in the form of giving people compliments when they're doing well or offering people hope and positivity when they're feeling down, we look for ways to be an encouragement to others instead of only focusing on ourselves. When we give up our own way, we demonstrate what Jesus's love looks like to the world around us. And it looks a lot like those things. Okay, so that's the first step we can take. The second one is this: follow Jesus and get to know Jesus. We can't follow someone we don't know. When Jesus told his disciples to follow him, it literally meant spending time together, traveling together, and being friends. In the same way, we can only follow Jesus if we're in a relationship with him. When we spend time talking to him about our everyday lives, and when we spend time reading his teachings in the Bible. When we grow in our relationship with Jesus, it's easier to know what it looks like to follow him in every area of our lives. Look, we're invited into the greatest story ever told, the story of Jesus and his work in the world. He gave up his life out of love and pulled off the greatest comeback ever. He laid it all down and then told us to do the same. That's what we can do with each other, in the church, and in the community around us. Over the last 2,000 years, people following the example of Jesus in their everyday lives has changed the world for the better. The way of Jesus has given people more love, dignity, care, joy, and peace. The way of Jesus has shown people what life is really supposed to be like. So imagine if that story continues today. Imagine how your school, friendships, family, community, and even our world would change for the better. Imagine how your life would change for the better. The truth is, we can live differently. Remember, living for Jesus means living like Jesus. And Jesus, the comeback kid, gave everything out of his amazing love for us. When you head to groups, I want you to think about your answer to this question. What is one thing you can do this week to live more like Jesus?